It's 7:45 here on Giant 90.9. And that can only mean one thing. Your host, Owen Pulley, is alongside Maxwell Gilly and Lucas McKee in HD1 Studios. And it's time for the Sports Spotlight! Welcome to the Sports Spotlight. This November 22nd edition here on Indy's Giant 90.9. My name is Owen Pulley alongside Maxwell Gilly and Lucas McKee. Hope you guys are having a wonderful morning. It is a little bit chilly out, but I hope you guys are having a wonderful morning.
Having a great morning on this Tuesday, which is essentially a Friday for everyone here in the very least, because it is almost Thanksgiving. It's a very fun time of the year.
Yeah, and with Thanksgiving, we will not have a show. Obviously, on Thursday, we will not be here. We will be with our families and celebrating Thanksgiving. But before we start, Max, what is one thing you're thankful for?
I am thankful for being able to be healthy and all, just being healthy over the last few years.
Lucas, what are you thankful for?
God.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer.
I'm thankful for family and sports.
Said one thing. You broke your own rule.
That's true. Off the show. I'm hosting now. Hi, I'm Owen Pulley.
Sports.
We know everything.
Over family? You're thankful?
Family. Family. But anyway, let's get right into it. The Colts lose a tough one, 17-16 over the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles now 9-1. The Colts now 4-6-1. Jeff Saturday 1-1 on the season as a head coach. And the Eagles just struggled the first three quarters of the game. The Colts were just up, completely dominating. They were up 13-3 heading into the fourth quarter and ended up losing 17-16. And yeah, defense, Lucas.
Yeah, defense was great. Absolutely. Like defense is where it's at. Maybe a pass rusher away from being like just one of the top defenses in the league, but what really beat the Colts was the offensive line. Offensive line got bullied for at least the second half. Maybe not so the first half, but the second half they absolutely got bullied. Wasn't even close or funny. It was really pathetic. But it shouldn't ever went there at the end of the game. If that field goal would have been made too, it would have been 19-17. Game would still have been won. But that's not the field goal wasn't the problem. It was the offense not being able to do literally anything.
So it's another week of the defense going crazy, doing everything
absolutely
good, and the offensive line just not sure. But in the offseason, remember, Chris Ballard did say that the offensive line, and the Colts did not have any problems at the offensive line or the wide receiving core.
Yeah.
No problems at all. The offensive part of the ball was not the problem. You fired your offensive coordinator. You get a new head coach, but there's no problems, right?
Right. Eagles had the most consecutive games with scoring 25 or 22 plus points a game. The Colts stopped them from even scoring 20. That just shows how that defense is, and the offense has to improve. It's definitely the play calling has gotten a lot better with Frank and Parks in there, or not Frank, with Frank gone and Parks in there, and the O-line has to change, and with like a veteran receiver, not just Pittman.
This has just been frustrating. We wanted it to be a close game against Philly. It was close, but it didn't feel close. The Colts playing awful. This is just, I say this every week, man, it's just so frustrating with this Indianapolis Colts team. I mean, we were so wrong. I remember we were so excited back in August, as was everyone.
Yeah.
And oh boy, it has been just awful to watch.
Yeah, I feel like nobody really expected the Colts O-line to be bad. Because you still have Ryan Kelly, Brandon Smith, and Quentin Nelson in there who have done great the last couple of years. And then I don't know what's changed or what's happened or what's going on. But
Pryor's frustrating. Pinter's good when he's at center.
Yeah, Fries is
Surprises.
Rotating. He's a rookie. Bernard Raymond has a lot of holding calls on the year.
Yeah. But don't get past Pryor. Yeah. Pryor's terrible.
Yeah, Pryor absolutely is.
He's not good.
He was the backup in Philadelphia. He was a backup left tackle, and that's who we had. That's who the Colts had starting for Matt Ryan's blindside. That's not ideal. He missing, I mean, just like simple stutter steps that an edge rusher will do, like a fake to the right, fake right step, and then cut in. It doesn't even have to touch Matt Pryor, and then Matt Pryor's over on the other side, and the defensive line's already in the backfield. So yeah, something's got to change with the line. That's the biggest issue for that team is the line.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely left tackle, that left side. And then I guess getting them more used to trick plays and on defense, that so they can get used to that. Ryan Kelly should be picking up on a lot of those, but he doesn't.
Yeah, Matt Ryan, 23 of 32 for 213 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Jonathan Taylor with 22 carries, 84 yards, and a touchdown. And Chase McLaughlin with 10 points, longest being 51. And he did miss that field goal. We mentioned it earlier. 3 for 4, 75% from kicking-wise, though. Had 3 field goals and an extra point. So, Max, what are your final takeaways from this game?
Just awful, awful, awful team.
Yeah.
But, hey, they have the Steelers. You'd think they'd be able to beat the Steelers on Monday Night Football, right?
Hopefully. It's in Indianapolis, Monday Night Football, on Monday, November 28th. Check that out. Not here. Indy's trying to put on. I forgot. What is Monday Night Football? I always forget. What streaming?
Well, it's like it's ESPN right. Yeah, and ABC.
I couldn't remember if it was like something specific. Or the Manning Cast.
ESPN too, yeah.
Could watch the Manning Cast.
But anyway. I hope they have a Manning Cast this week. They don't always do it every single week, so that'd be disappointing if they didn't.
No. If Manning did it over his Colts.
That would be great.
He's done a couple of them. Imagine if the Colts had Hard Knocks this year.
That would have been much better.
See, I said that before the season started because I was so hype about the season. And now that I think about it, I'm so glad Hard Knocks is not.
Yeah.
Not.
Where is
not
it? Detroit?
Because.
No, it's Arizona.
In season Arizona. Yeah, it was off season right. Detroit. Or like preseason Detroit. In season Arizona. Yeah. I was just, you know, it would be interesting, though, to see what's being said.
I would have liked to see what was happening with the whole coaching thing yeah. and then the conversations about Ryan.
It's like almost like they knew this was going to happen this year. They just was like, you know, Hard Knocks before the year, all this goes down.
Yeah.
Watch out for the Cardinals. Everything apparently implodes after Hard Knocks.
Yep. Yeah.
Speaking of the Cardinals, 38-10 to the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers 6-4. The Cardinals now 4-7 on the season. And they just lost yesterday from Monday Night Football in Mexico.
Yeah, the Mexico yeah. City game. It's always an interesting one. Seems like the 49ers are there every single year. I don't know why. It just feels like they have the past few years. And congrats to them. They're looking good this year.
I mean, this is crazy. Jimmy Garoppolo had 4 touchdowns. Debo Samuel, 3 carries and a touchdown.
He had like a 50-yard
yeah.
George, rushing.
George Kittle, 4 receptions and 2 touchdowns. So that's a 50%. So right now we're at a 33% conversion rate for touches to touchdown. Receptions to touchdown, now George Kittle is 50%, 2 for 4. And Brandon Ayuk with a whopping 100%, 2 receptions, 2 touchdowns.
That's awesome.
So that's red zone offense.
Yeah, that's CMC helping there, pushing the line and pushing the ball down the field. Their offense has gotten so much better since trading for.
Yeah, definitely.
I think they average a touchdown more a game, and then they average about 60, 70 yards more now with CMC. So that trade definitely helped them a lot. I think the CMC trade's really given them the momentum that they need.
What was Christian McCaffrey's first game? Was it the Chiefs game?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So they lost to the Chiefs in that one just because he was getting back, but they've won 3 in a row now.
Right. I mean,
and they got exactly. the Saints, which is going to be easy, and then the Dolphins.
Before he got traded, it was 10 points, 27, 10, 24, 37, 14, and then when he got traded, 23, 31, 22,
38. Yep. CMC is definitely impacting. And CMC is not even, like, getting all the touchdowns. He's just he has all the assists.
Yeah. He's like a point guard.
Yeah. He has all the assists. He's doing great.
And the 49ers will host the Saints Sunday, November 27th in that 4 o'clock slot. So look forward to that there. But more games in the NFL. You got the games, Max. What do you see there for some of the NFC inter-divisional games?
Well, I was just going to go straight to the Thanksgiving games instead. Oh, yeah. Just because those are
big week this week.
Huge ones. We got Bills at Lions on CBS at 12:30. Fox has Giants at Cowboys at 4:30. Then Patriots Vikings to round off the night on NBC at 8:20. Those are always some fun games there. Looking ahead for some of the other major games in the league, we have Chargers, Cardinals, Raiders, Seahawks, Rams, Chiefs, Saints, 49ers, Packers, Eagles, Steelers, Colts. It's not really the best batch of games that we've had for next week, but oh well, it's the NFL. It's going to be entertaining no matter what.
Yeah, hopefully. Maybe the Eagles will fend off for another week against the Packers. Did you see that one guy did the coin flip, and he's still perfect with the Jets season?
I did.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's crazy. That's through, awesome. Through 11 weeks, he's still perfect there. He predicted all of them, and obviously the bye week doesn't count. So
Jets
10 games, 11 weeks.
Jets are going to lose to the Bills, or not the Bills, the they're going to beat the Bills, and then they're going to lose to the Bears. We're going to lose to the Bears first because that's the game that happens first. But I remember one of the coin flips said that they were going to beat the Bills both times. They beat them the first time.
Yeah, and then he said they were going to lose in the AFC divisional round championship round after going 11-6 on the regular season.
Who do you think is in that championship game with them? Jets versus who in the championship game to go to the Super Bowl? Bills or Chiefs?
Chiefs. They've been. I think
Chiefs too.
All right, here we go. So he predicted the loss versus Baltimore. Obviously, these are all right. But the loss versus Baltimore, the win versus Cleveland, the loss to Cincinnati, the wins versus Pittsburgh, Miami, Green Bay, and Denver, the loss to New England, the win versus Buffalo, obviously the bye, and the loss to New England.
Now, the next coin flip was the loss to the Bears.
Yes, loss to the Bears, wins versus Minnesota, Buffalo, Detroit, Jacksonville, Seattle, and Miami. Or loss to Miami, excuse me, winning in the wild card, winning in the divisional, and losing in the AFC championship game. But honestly, now this AFC team, AFC East, has been very dominant this year. All four teams are slated to make the playoffs.
All above 500. The whole East is actually above 500.
Going from the least to the beast in the NFC side, but we'll get to that in a second. But the Jets, 11-6 there. But honestly, at 11-6... do you think that they could be a wild card team, or do you think that they'd have to be, or do you think they could be a straight bye team with these seven teams now, or do you think that they'd have to be a wild card
team? They'd have to be a wild card team at 11-6. There's bound to be someone who has like three or four losses there's going to be someone with five.
But not if they take over their division. They've already beat the Bills once. If they win their division out, then they're top of the seed.
Yeah, but they'll probably, now that I think about it, they'll probably get like the 3 seed or something.
And
then they won't get the bye.
I also do, I think it's a good call, though, that the Bills will, or not the Bills, the Jets are losing to the Bears. Because I think Justin Fields has been scrambling a lot lately. And he's like Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson. Nobody can really get to him. He's just running all over the place. So I believe that game would be pretty close, and the Jets are going to lose.
Yeah, and you are listening to Sports Spotlight on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. As we were talking about the NFL right now, Thanksgiving game is coming up. We mentioned that real quick. Max already did, but we can mention it one more time for you just now tuning in. Bills and Lions at 12:30. I always get a double check. Max, can you double check with me? My phone likes to put me in Central Time sometimes.
It is 12:30.
12:30. Yeah. All right. Bills Lions 12:30. Giants Cowboys at 4:30. And Patriots-Vikings at 8:20. Check those games out on Thursday. for Thanksgiving. So thank you, Max, for fact-checking. And then after that, you can check out the Colts and Steelers Monday night. So a big gap between Thanksgiving and when the Colts play Monday Night Football at 8:15. The Colts host the Pittsburgh Steelers right here in Indianapolis. So, Lucas, you said something. You're going to that game.
Yeah, the IHS.
Oh, my bad. I thought you were talking about the Colts game.
No.
The state finals. But we will talk about the state finals in a little bit. But before that, my bad, Lucas. I thought you were talking about going to the Colts game.
No, I don't want to go to another disappointing Colts game this year. But ironically, the game that I went to, you went there, you were there as well. They lost
Commanders game
16-17 with the last second drive from the opposite team, and then the Colts had like an extra minute to go down the field, and then both times they failed.
Yeah, but anyway, with that, we're gonna go to a little break and then come back. The NBA, the Pacers have won 5 straight in this season that was supposed to be kind of a tanking season. They won 5 in a row. The Pacers
9-6 now.
Yeah, looking pretty good. 9-6. So we're gonna go to a quick break right here in the Sports Spotlight. Indy's Jag 9.9.
Hey, Dr. Elsperman. I believe one of the best ways to invest in a community is to encourage participation in high school sports.
I agree, Paul. High school sports can play a tremendous role in student athletes obtaining their first degree in life, a high school diploma. Ivy Tech Community College also plays a role by serving more than 70,000 Indiana high school students who are earning college credit while finishing high school.
High school athletics are all about setting students up for success in the classroom and in life, and that's especially important. Considering less than 7% of student athletes play sports in college, and even fewer receive scholarships.
At Ivy Tech, thousands of high school students complete their freshman year of college or first industry credential, giving them a head start on college and careers.
We appreciate the support of partners like Ivy Tech who invest in our student athletes, their education, and our communities.
This is championing education. This is investing in your community. This is your IHSAA.
Welcome back to the Sports Spotlight, Indy's Giant 90.9. My name is Owen Poley alongside Maxwell Gilley and Lucas McKee. The Pacers have won 5 in a row. They are 4th in the AFC, the Eastern Conference. They are 10-6 on the season with a win last night against the Orlando Magic. 123-102. Good game there for the Pacers. Outscored them in all but one quarter. Got outscored 20-27 at the end of the first quarter. Max?
As we look at the Pacers, leading scorer was Mathurin off the bench. We had McConnell with 19, Brissett with 18, Halliburton had 18. So really, it was interesting. The starters were not the ones who were contributing. It was mostly off the bench in that one, but that's a good thing because clearly the Pacers have a lot of depth. And I know it's against Orlando. You beat Orlando twice. You beat Houston and Charlotte. All of those are bad teams. So people can maybe make an argument that the Pacers had an easy stretch of the schedule. But still, I think it has shown that this Pacers has some talented players all around the league. There's a reason why they're 4th now. I know we're still early in the season, but it's great seeing the Pacers as a top 5 team right now.
Yeah, it's really good to see them as a top 5 team, like you said, Max. The only thing that I don't want to happen is have them go another season where they go 500 on the season and then struggle in the first round as a 4 seed or a 5 seed playing the 4 or 5 seed there. That's how it's gone in years past. But
I'd just be happy if they make it at this point.
Yeah, but then I've reached that point. Like, they're going to be good, but do you want them to be 500 good again and just be 500 good?
I want them to be better, obviously, but right. At least for this year alone, I'd be okay if they are 500 and make the playoffs. Next year, we can get someone good in the draft.
Yeah, hopefully they do get somebody good. But whoever gets Victor Wembanyama, it seems like we talk about him all the time.
Houston, calling it right now.
Definitely. But what about the lottery, though?
Don't the Pelicans get first pick with the Anthony Davis trade?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure Pelicans get first pick.
It's the weird lottery. I never get it.
Which is
I know is the Pacers get screwed every year.
If that's true,
top 10 pick.
Pelicans get first pick. That's kind of scary because they already have Zion Williamson over there, and then if they get Victor, that might be a scary team to play.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is the coaching staff going to be able to use everyone well? You can have an all-star team. I look at the Lakers, at least an early 2010s all-star team with the Lakers, but clearly that hasn't worked.
Yeah, definitely. All those guys are wearing those NBA 75 jackets, you know, because they were in the inaugural season of the NBA. Anyway, the Pacers play the Timberwolves tomorrow. They host the Timberwolves tomorrow at 7 p.m. Check that out wherever you may and where the Pacers are broadcasting that game. But the Pacers, like I said, they're looking good this season. I'm excited for them, too. But the Magic 5-13 now, they, like I said, they play the Timberwolves. And the Timberwolves, Max, do you have the Timberwolves record?
The Timberwolves are 9-8, on a 4-game win streak. They're 10th right now in the West. By the way, the Pacers, only Sacramento with going 8-2 in the last 10 games, and then Boston going 9-1 in the last 10 games. The Pacers are the top three in, like, winning record in the past 10 games. So they've really been looking good as of late.
I'm excited for them to, like, I've mentioned it a couple times, but they're going to be a problem in the next couple of years, but if they can just keep chugging along, they will be good. Their West Coast trip is coming up soon, though.
You have to keep everyone. That's the big thing. We can't end up losing everyone within, like, 2 years. When you look at some of these great teams, they've been building around each other for a year. It goes back to similar to college where they have all the one-and-dones. The teams that always make the Final Four are the ones that have stuck together for multiple years.
Yeah, but
so you just
have
to have a good culture.
Free agents are going to be big, and it's tough as a team that's kind of a small market team, not a team like Los Angeles or New York or even a team like Chicago. You don't really have that kind of money. I mean, Chicago is not like notoriously like a consistently in the past couple of years a great team.
They've been looking better though.
Yeah, but they've got Chicago money.
That is true. I still can't believe everyone keeps wanting to stay at Milwaukee. They've just been so lucky.
Milwaukee, all they did was draft Giannis. That's all they did was draft Giannis. I mean,
they
built around him, which is great. I mean, I'm glad for the Bucks there, but
I mean, that is normally where it starts, though. You got to draft one player to, you know, get it all going, and then, I mean, unless somehow an NBA team can just draft nothing but studs each pick they have when they
but the Pacers aren't. They're not good with drafting.
Well, you weren't a big Goga fan?
So,
no, that word, that name is not spoken on the show.
I know,
Oh, man.
That's why I brought it
there
up.
There are two names.
The Jackson White rule. You're welcome, Jackson.
There are two names that you do not name on this show. It is Goga Bitadze.
He had one good game.
And the former GM of the Indianapolis Colts, and I'm spacing on his name. I literally had it.
I don't remember.
Former GM.
That's how important he was.
Former GM or coach?
GM.
Oh.
Before I remember Ballard. We talked about that rule earlier this year.
I cannot think of his name. But anyway, that's how much he doesn't matter right now, is that we don't even remember his name. But anyway, any closing thoughts on the Pacers season?
This is a fun team. Woo!
The way stretch is going to be...
Yeah, that is going to be tough.
It's going to be... I think that's where the real challenge is, to see where this team really is at during the home stretch. Because if you look at like the teams like the Warriors, who just won the championship last year, who have people like Klay, Draymond, Jordan Poole
this year, man.
Yeah,
they suck on
Steph,
the road.
Yeah, they did terrible on the road, and like so. This is just really going to show where this team's at. It's going to be a tough road stretch, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, they have their West Coast kick. They have 5 away games. They're playing teams like Golden State, LA, both LA teams, and Sacramento. Sacramento, 6 wins in a row. They are the team in the NBA with the biggest win streak as of right now. Six games, Maxwell was mentioning earlier. So Domantas Sabonis, one of those players, still averaging a double-double in Sacramento wherever he goes. And he's averaging a double-double. So he's one of those players that can he's good everywhere. But I still think, to this day, that the Pacers finessed the Kings.
They did, 100%. My math teacher was like a big Kings fan, and I remember that day they had the trade. Oh, boy, he was not happy that day.
Oh, I wouldn't be either.
I mean, but I could not believe that the Kings had done that.
It's not even that they traded away Buddy Hield and Tyrese Halliburton and Tristan Thompson. It's not even that. It's the fact that they got, who'd they get? Domantas Sabonis and a couple draft picks. Like, I think that is the part where, like, they couldn't have gotten anybody else out of that. I don't know.
They were desperate.
I mean, it is working for them right now. But I think that in the future, the Pacers still will be better.
It was weird seeing the Kings win on TNT. I never thought I'd see that day.
Yeah. But we're going to go to another break and then come back with the World Cup. And some interesting games happened.
Football.
In the past couple days. No, it's called soccer.
We'll go in that break another day.
So 1 minute break here. Sports Valley Indies, Giant 9.9.
The IHSAA, in partnership with the state of Indiana, wants to clear the air regarding our state's vaping epidemic. Why do people vape?
I am a cloud maker.
I am a flavor chaser.
I am a buzz seeker.
What do they think they're vaping?
I like blueberry lemon haze.
Mmm, cucumber mint.
Wild watermelon for me.
But what are they really inhaling?
Wait, arsenic?
Formaldehyde?
Lead? Ugh.
Vaping is not harmless. It is highly addictive. It can cause irreversible damage to your kidneys and lungs. It can ruin your life. Visit the IHSAA website, don'tpuffthisstuff.com, to better understand what vaping is and what it can do to you.
Welcome back to the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's John 90.9. My name is Owen Foley, alongside Maxwell Gillett and Lucas McKee. And we're here for the first time in 4 years. The World Cup is finally here. And
Woo!
We're excited. World Cup. I don't know.
World Cup.
But the World Cup is here, hosted by Qatar in Qatar.
Man. They looked awful
in
that opening game. 2-0 Ecuador.
Ecuador, man.
It should be 3-0, but I hate VAR. They have it now where they have all these cameras and they can, like, show you, like, an arm going over the line.
Mm-hmm.
It is not really fun. It's cool. I mean, people make fun of the NFL having to use the chains to figure out to move the ball, yet the soccer has, like, a 3D image of someone's arm going over the line. But they also that also makes them have to add, like, 5 minutes of extra time. So we were watching the England game, and there was 15 minutes of extra time at halftime alone. But, I'm just angry at VAR, but I've been angry at them for a while. But looking back at the games now, we had Argentina, the big one, losing to Saudi Arabia 2-1 this morning with Messi.
Upset winning Group C.
People saying that's like the miracle on ice for Saudi Arabia.
I did hear that. That is pretty big there. But you talked about the England game real quick. Let's go over to that.
That was fun to watch. I was able to watch that.
Yeah, we hooked it up in here in Indy's Giant and put it in our studio. We get to watch it. And that was a fun game. 6-2, the overall score in Iran. Just kind of lackluster there. England just taking over that first game. But Senegal and the Netherlands. Netherlands did beat Senegal 2-0. And then the later game, the United States and Wales playing in a game. And the first three games were football, and this last game was soccer, depending on who you ask. But that was tied with a penalty kick in the 82nd minute by Wales to tie that up. The United States could not tie it up. The first tie, or draw, whichever one you want to call it, of the World Cup. But like you said, Saudi Arabia and Argentina. So we got a game right now. Denmark and Tunisia are tied right now, 0-0, 19 minutes into the game. And Mexico and Poland will play at 11 a.m. And France and Australia will play today at 2 p.m. So check that out. The United States will play on Friday. They have a big gap, and they will play on Friday, November 25th at 2 p.m. against England. And then I believe Tuesday they will play. I could be wrong. Let me double
check. Yeah, it is Tuesday against Iran.
Tuesday against Iran to finish out their group schedule there. And let's see. Let's go through the stages of the groups, or the group stages. Netherlands, Ecuador, Senegal, and Qatar right now. At the top, Netherlands and Ecuador at 1-0. Obviously, Senegal and Qatar are 0-1. England at the top at 1-0. Wales at 0-0-1. And the United States at 0-0-1. And Iran 0-1-0. Saudi Arabia at the top with being 1-0. Obviously, like nobody else.
I never thought I was going to see that. I mean,
and Argentina 0-1. That was crazy.
Seeing them at the bottom, that's just crazy. Everyone was expecting Mexico, Argentina for sure to make it in this one, but Argentina's going to definitely have to crawl back. It's going to be difficult.
Ronaldo's better. That's just it.
Oh, we're doing that show. No, we're not doing that show.
Denmark right now, as of right now, with Tunisia 0-0, like I said.
It's really close in possession, I saw that. I think Tunisia's winning that one. But
and Australia and France have not played yet. They will play later. Costa Rica, Germany, Japan, and Spain in Group E. Belgium, Canada, Croatia, and Morocco in Group F. Group G, Brazil, Cameroon, Serbia, and Switzerland have not played yet. And in Group H, Ghana, South Korea, Portugal, and Uruguay all have not played yet. So those are some big games coming up, and I am excited.
I'm excited for Group E. I know everyone's going to be focused on the American one, of course, but looking outside of the American one, they got Costa Rica, Germany, Japan, and Spain all in one. Germany and Spain should be good. Costa Rica is always competitive. That one should be a really fun one outside of Group B, where everyone's going to be wondering, will it be England, will it be USA? But
this thing with the United States, I think that England is the more well-rounded team. I think that they are the most prepared team in that group, but the and even possibly could be so the entire tournament.
I'm not going to go that far. I don't think they're the best team in this tournament. We're going to have to wait and see.
Qatar.
Of course. You know, man.
That was just bad soccer.
There's a reason why they've never qualified for the World Cup, and you were able to see it in that one. And it goes back to the, unfortunately, just the lack of players there. I know they were talking about how they have like an academy from like age 6 and up, but it is not the same as the academies you go to in Spain, Germany, England, and whatnot starting out. It's amazing that the USA, because the USA, they've been improving their youth soccer structure for a while, but it's still nowhere close to Spain and Brazil and whatnot. So it's always amazing that they make it this far, but it's never guaranteed, as we saw in 2018.
Yeah, how are you thinking the defending champs of France are going to hold up this year in the defending runner-ups in Croatia?
So with France, they have really struggled in the past few games. They lost to Denmark to finish out the stretch before the World Cup. They lost actually to Denmark twice, tied Croatia, tied Austria, lost to Croatia again, but they've really been struggling a little bit from April on up. So I don't think that they're going to be that good. I don't think they're going to have enough to re-get the championship. That doesn't even really happen anymore. You'd rarely see a champion in the World Cup go back-to-back.
4 years is a big time. So obviously winning back-to-back is different than winning back-to-back when you're a four-year gap. But France is in Group D with Denmark, Tunisia, and Australia. And Croatia is in Group F with Belgium, Canada, and Morocco. So some good games to check out there. And in the time, we're going to kind of, we can go through the games real quick in the time that we do not have a show preview there.
I like Brazil winning the World Cup.
Brazil is always fun to win the World Cup there. Still 0-0, 24 minutes in. And that is the Denmark-Tunisia game. But until we get back, Morocco and Croatia, Germany, Japan, Spain and Costa Rica, and Belgium and Canada, that is tomorrow, Thursday, on Thanksgiving for us Americans. Obviously, no other country celebrates that holiday. Switzerland and Cameroon, Uruguay and South Korea, Portugal and Ghana, Brazil and Serbia. So Brazil taking on Serbia. There you go, Lucas. There's Brazil. So hopefully they can start off with a win for you. And Group B kicks back off Friday, November 25th, Wales and Iran. Group A, Qatar and Senegal, Netherlands and Ecuador. And then Group B again, England and the United States. We mentioned that on Friday. Tunisia, and then on Saturday, Tunisia, Australia, Poland, Saudi Arabia, France and Denmark, Argentina and Mexico, and then Japan. This is Sunday, Japan and Costa Rica, Belgium, Morocco, Croatia, Canada, Spain and Germany. And then Monday, Cameroon.
That should be a fun one, Spain, Germany.
Spain and Germany is going to be a fun one when you have two notoriously good soccer programs.
2010 and 2014 were the two World Cups they won.
Germany in 2014.
Yeah,
correct.
Germany 2014, Spain 2010.
That was a good World Cup, 2014. That was my favorite one because I got the game. And I remember, like,
oh, that game was awesome.
That was an amazing game.
That
the
game,
Rio,
I'm telling you, it was much better than the FIFA that year.
Oh, yeah. Rio 2014, playing on the Xbox 360. It was such a fun game. But Cameroon and Serbia on Monday, South Korea, Ghana, Brazil, Switzerland, Portugal, Uruguay. And then the Tuesday, we come back with an episode of the Sports Spotlight. Ecuador and Senegal, Netherlands and Qatar, Iran in the USA for Group B, and then Wales and England rounding out the Group B. So that is the true battle of the island of Wales and England. But that's going to end off our World Cup segment. So I'm excited. Max is excited. Lucas is excited. Hopefully the entire world's excited because it is the World Cup of soccer, football, whatever you want to call it. We're going to go to another quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the IHSAA state finals real quick. But before that, we're going to go to another quick break here on the Sports Spotlight, Indy's Giant 90.9.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player. No matter the challenges I face every day in the NFL, my mom is always there for me, despite her own struggles with muscular dystrophy. And MDA is there for my mom. At their 150 care centers across the U.S., MDA is a leading organization in research and care for kids and adults with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and related neuromuscular diseases. Join me and learn more at helpmda.org today. Thank you.
Sheesh. Welcome back to the Sports Spotlight, Indy's Giant 9.9. My name is Owen Pullet alongside Maxwell Gilley and Lucas McKee. Max is laughing because I hit the wrong button and played some Lizzo. But that's all right. That's our comeback music. But we have some state finals starting with 2A on Friday. We have Class 2A State Championship, Andrean, the 10-3 Andrean against Evansville. Is it Modern Day.
So Andrean coming in here as the defending state champions, taking on a Modern Day team. Modern Day is just dominated 2A over the last few years. That should be a really fun one. The 1A and 2A games are truly always the best ones. 6A is usually, and 5A are never really close, but 1 and 2A are always really fun.
Yeah, 6A should be a good one, though, in my opinion. Hopefully, that is a good game. But we will see at 3 p.m. the 4A, New Prairie versus East Central. 13-1 New Prairie taking on the 12-2 East Central. Should be a good game as well. But you said 1A and 2A, like you said, Max, should be a good one. I'm excited for those games. I think I might be going to one of those games. But 6A, Carroll, Fort Wayne, 13-0 versus Center Grove, somehow squeaking their way in 11-2. After watching the Ben Davis Center Grove game, I did not think too highly of Center Grove.
Nor did I, but boy, have they shown that when it comes to the playoffs, they know what it takes to make it this far. They've looked really good throughout this tournament. You beat Cathedral. That had to feel good. You had to beat Warren Central as well.
Yeah, the Class A moving over to Saturday, November 26th, 11 a.m. Class 1A State Championship, undefeated Adams Central versus undefeated Indianapolis Lutheran. Gonna be a good game.
That is I'm really excited to see that one. Adams Central was here last year. Lutheran, the defending state champions, part of the competitive ICC conference. Man, 14-0. There's nothing better.
I'm going to take the undefeated team to win.
That's a good pick.
That's a good pick.
I like the 14-0 team in this.
Yeah. Over to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Class 3A State Championship. Bishop Chatard, 10-4, taking on the 13-1 Lawrenceburg. I might be going to that game. My friend does play for Bishop Chatard.
I was
going
to say, I think Bishop's going to win that game as
I do,
well.
Too.
Bishop should win that game. Say,
Isn't that the team that Monrovia lost to Lawrenceburg?
Yeah, we lost to Lawrenceburg at Lawrenceburg. Big thing there is since Lawrenceburg got killed by East Central in week one, they've only allowed 47 points since week one. They've been looking good on defense. The issue with Lawrenceburg, they have two plays. Pitch out to seven, four runs through the gut. That's it.
And
that's
it's been all
their
season,
entire
so
numbers.
Exactly.
It works.
It's been all season, so hopefully Bishop should catch up on it.
I think
Chatard has a better chance of winning this game than Lawrenceburg, in my humble opinion. But then at 7 p.m., rounding out the state titles, 5A state championship, 10-3 Valparaiso takes on the 12-1 Whiteland. I'm not too keen on these teams. Like, I don't really know anything about these particular teams. But
I did not see Whiteland making it this far.
I did not really either. That's the only really thing I know. But Lucas, what are your words on Whiteland?
Whiteland, they have a great defense. I'll say that. I haven't really seen their offense. The only reason I haven't seen their offense is because I haven't been to any of the games. And the reason I know they have a good defense is because my cousin who plays for that team is one of the defensive tackles, defensive line, and he sends me clips all the time of what he does. And so, but yeah, they look really good on defense, and it's going to be an exciting game. I don't know much about this other team at all. I've never even heard of this team, to be honest. I'm going to be 100% honest, but I like the odds. It should be a good, fun game to go to. I hope my cousin takes the ring home.
Hopefully for your sake. But if you're planning on going, $15 per person. Children age 5 and younger admitted for free. All seats general admission. Per Lucas Oil Stadium, all ticket sales will be digital only. They will be sent as mobile, and you can get them through Ticketmaster. They will have the clear bag policy that they do for Colts games. So have that there. You'll be able to listen to it on the IHSA Champions Network or watch it on TV. They will broadcast those. But
all but 6A will be on Main Valley Sports Indiana. Then 6A is going to be moved to Valley Sports Plus because of the Pacers game. So quick heads up there.
And some rules for if you're wanting to go, banners and posters are not allowed. No battery-powered or electronic noisemakers. Fireworks, recorded music, sirens, or whistles are allowed.
Darn it, he's taking away my rights to fireworks in the stadium.
Yes, your indoor stadium, you cannot have fireworks. No throwing of articles, including toilet tissue and baby powder, is permitted. No live mascots or animals anytime soon. We can't go college mode, and I would imagine no storming the field at the end.
Definitely
not.
The yellow shirts are going to try and tackle you.
Speaking of yellow
shirts real quick, well, my dad is not a yellow shirt. He graduated to a blue shirt. He does security for part-time for the Colts on the weekends. Did you see he made SportsCenter?
I did, because you were so excited to see that he was slowly in the background.
He was pretty cool. It was when Jalen Hurts scored that game-winning touchdown, and Blue was right there. And
yeah, I seen him
making fun of Jalen Hurts. My dad was in the background. It was pretty cool. But anyway, closing statements, Max. You have On the Fly and some other shows. School Talk, not this week.
It will be next week. So tune in. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. Stay safe,
Lucas.
Exactly what Max just said. Have a great Thanksgiving and stay safe.
Yeah, tonight, Ben Davis boys will take on Fishers at Fishers. Max and Landon will be on that call.
2-3.
Yeah.
Number two, BD. Number three, Fishers. Should be a fun one.
Should be a fun game. Landon Nelson, Maxwell Gilly on that call. The girls will take on Addicts. No broadcast tonight. Tonight at 7:30 p.m. So if you're wanting to stay here, go to the game. Go to the Addicts game. But if you want to listen, go listen to the boys at Fishers tonight, Indy Giant 90.9. Follow us on social media at WBDG Indy, except for TikTok. That is Giant 90.9. If you have a request for a song, 317-244-9234. That's 317-244 WBDG and Trey Hanna will be on later after us. So if you want to give him a call, 317-244-9234. And School Talk, like Max said, 7:30 a.m. on Friday and replays at Sunday at 2 p.m. But no episode this week, only next Friday because of the holiday. So have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Have a wonderful Black Friday. If you shop, have a wonderful weekend. And come back next Tuesday. Listen to Sports Spotlight, Indy's Giant 90.9.